All right, it's August 27th, year 2006, 12th Sunday after Pentecost. We are going to mention, dwell in particularly on the gospel reading about what our Lord is speaking about, how we deal with our neighbors and who is our neighbor. Now, there's an interesting passage in here because already back then, we're already seeing the seeds of Talmudic Judaism, which is an evil religion. It's not true Judaism, we know that. And Jesus even accused them of making a tradition of men and opposing the tradition of God, even back then. And these were a lot of the Pharisees and scribes that already had the seeds of rebellion against the true God and were formulating a religion that was separate from true Judaism, which wasn't the teachings according to what God had taught them. And we know this in this one scripture here because there's a couple of Jews that are saying, well, who's my neighbor? You know, because the Talmud teaches that only Jews are your neighbor, that Gentiles are soulless beasts, they're no better than animals, and they're not human beings. And they can, and you can break all the Ten Commandments with them because the Ten Commandments have nothing to do with them because they're only animals, right? And even God tells you to be civil to animals. We're not going to get into that aspect, but we're going to see what type of vicious racism this is, because God's never been racism has always been a sin, and even under the Old Covenant, and before that, God always desired the salvation of the entire world. The reason He chose the Jewish people because He has to have a starting focus point in which He manifests His power through a given group of people that would then be given the task to go out and convert the world. And so the purpose of the Jews were, back then even, to get the attention of the Gentile world and show them that the true God is the God of Israel, the God who we're going to tell you about, in a hope to convert the Gentiles. Because it's throughout the Old Covenant about if the stranger sojourns amongst you, if he accepts me, the God of Israel, circumcise him and treat him as if he's an Israelite. No different. There were certain rules that were different, though, in the sense that he could not rise up to positions of authority, and he could not go into the temple and be a priest and such, but other than that, he was a chosen child of God, treated just as an Israelite. You may even say as somebody not from the Levitical priesthood, or anybody who could raise the ranks, an average Jew he would be considered, but he would be considered blessed and holy. So, God was never a racist. In here, you're already looking at people, Jews, that were holding on to this racial racism. Because God had chosen them to be the people to go out there, they looked upon that as and became prideful and condescending to Gentiles, and actually began to think that they're soulless beasts. Because that's by saying the one guy saying, "Well, who is my neighbor, though? Oh, I agree, I got to do all these things to my neighbor, but who's my neighbor? Isn't only another Jew like us? Aren't all the other races just soulless beasts? I don't have to take care of him." And Christ is throwing that right back in their face, and he's saying, "Where did you get that from? That didn't come from Moses. That didn't come from Abraham." You guys don't even know how to read. You know, they were like your modern-day Protestants, I mean, or any type of a heretic or an apostate. They absolutely deny Holy Scriptures that are staring them right in the eye. How could you guys think such a thing when I told you throughout the Scriptures that any Gentile that comes amongst you, circumcise him, treat him as an Israelite, and convert him to me? That was the purpose of Daniel going into Babylon and Joseph into Egypt, to witness to the Egyptians for the salvation of their souls. You know, so it's these guys were already around at the time of our Lord, and after they denied Christ, they even got worse. And then he went on to form the Talmud, which does teach this. So the teachings of false Judaism was already seeded back then. That's why the guy's asking this question. Why else would he ask? And what do you mean, who's your neighbor? If you see anybody, he's a human being. If there's any injustice being done to any human being, I don't care if he's a Jew, a Gentile, or who he is. Even God, when he'd have certain Gentiles that were more evil than others, and he will punish the real evil Gentiles severely. And the ones that weren't as bad, he would even tell the Jews, when they were going to go fight against this one group of Philistines over here, God says, no, don't fight them. They're not as bad. And if you do that, I'm going to have them beat you up, and you're going to lose. Because they're not as bad as the other ones. Be more merciful to them. They're not as bad. Right, and even the Jew, God proved it amongst the Jews even. God has nothing to do with racism. Why? Because when you got a bad Jew, he gets punished twice as much as the Gentiles. So a Jew had a great responsibility to serve the true God, so he'd be doubly blessed. If not, he'd be doubly cursed. And so there was none of this racism here. And Jesus is bringing back to the mind of these racist Jews, I came to save all men. Even back in the Old Covenant, don't get arrogant and cocky because you think you're a Jew and because I manifested myself and chose your race. That don't mean anything as far as you individually. You could be bad. I did that to save the whole human race, not just for that little group. The purpose of the Jew was to manifest God to the world. And if you don't, these guys are saying, I'm not going to manifest God to the world. I'm going to keep them to ourselves and hide our candle under the bushel, and I don't care about the rest of human of the Gentiles. And that's not through anywhere in God's Word. That's nowhere in the Old Testament. That's nowhere. It's nowhere to be found. That's total racism. And that's why St. John the Baptist kept saying, don't think because you're the sons of Abraham you're going to be saved. I can turn that rock into son of Abraham. Stop being arrogant about your race. And I tell you something, most of you Jews are going to hell anyway, and that makes you even doubly guilty because God manifested himself to you and gave you all these favors. So if anything, you could say your race is even worse than the Gentiles. You could say that, you know. In the end, we know we're all the same, Jew and Gentile. We're all evil. Mostly. We have these evil inclinations. Because God could say, hey, look, didn't he say that somewhere else? If I gave the graces to Sodom that I gave to you, maybe perhaps they would have converted. Look, all the stuff I gave you guys, and you still are evil. So don't be exalting yourself. Don't be arrogant. You know, and your greatness has to do with your faith in me and not your race. I manifested myself to that race because God has a starting point in which to manifest the one true God. He's not going to do it through 2-3 different races. There will be confusion. This church is always one, and always the truth comes from one source. Now, in the New Covenant, he merged that into the Catholic Church, which was his perfect plan of no more Jew or Gentile now. As far as superior rank, everybody's equal in the ranks of the church. The Gentiles can rise up to the highest positions, and which is what they did, you know. And now we have the Catholic Church, which is all one. And they're going out, and their job was then to convert the masses in the world even more than they did in the Old Covenant era. But the principle is still the same. Even though Jesus prophesies that the mass evangelization will take place in the whole world when Jesus comes, evangelizing was still being done. From the very beginning of the fall of Adam and Eve. From the very, when we watch these, when Joseph goes into Egypt, God's evangelizing the Egyptians through Joseph. He's manifesting his power. So the whole thing here that we have to take the heat on this, what he's talking about here is charity towards our neighbor. And then the guy said, who is our neighbor? Our neighbor is every human being that needs help out there. Now, the corporate works of mercy, if we don't do those when we should, when we have to, woe to us, we're abominations. Because that's how you show the non-Catholics. And our neighbors is even the non-Catholics. That's who we're here to help convert. You know, and how else are we going to convert them unless we show them that we really love them? Not just because we say we love them, because we have to love them. See, St. Paul even says, don't follow just the letter of the law. That ain't going to save you. The spirit, the reason behind the law. I can say I love the Jew because God told me I got to love him. So you go up and you're pretending to love the guy, but the guy knows you really hate him. Because you're trying your best to love him, but in your heart the guy knows you hate him. You know. Like kids when they make up but they're not really making up, and the parents turn their back and they go, I love you. Kids turn their back and they start smacking one another. I mean, they don't really love the person. Or why am I not supposed to steal, for instance? Just because God said it, I want to look like a goody two-shoes to the rest of the world? Or why don't I steal? What's the spirit of the law of stealing? Because I don't want to be stolen from. It's not fair. It's wrong. I can see the wrongness of it, the justice in it. This guy worked for it. It's his. It's wrong. You got to know why it's wrong. Fornication, adultery. Would you want someone to do that to your wife? Why are you doing it to his wife? I said, that's the spirit of the law. And so the spirit of the law, our Lord is saying, is behind all these things. It's of charity. You know, we're going out there and saying we love our non-Catholics, and we do, and we want to convert them, but we don't give them the corporal works of mercy when they really need it. And we walk by the guy and spit on him. Not even not spit on him, but just walk by him and you don't help him. Now, if the guy sees you're helping him, that's the first thing that shows him that you really do care about him. And that gets his attention to listen to what we're going to preach to him. Because other than that, I'll tell you something, that guy's not even going to want to hear what we preach at all. He can say, I don't know anything about those guys, but they're nasty. They don't even take care of an injured man or bind up his wounds or feed a poor person who's starving. They don't care about us in that way. Because that's the first way you get their attention, to get into them. And then we go and give them the spiritual work of mercy side by side with that. Because the main thing that these people are in need of is the spiritual works of mercy. But that doesn't do away the corporal. That too. You know, whenever we have enough to, hey, if we had a big enough group in here to go out, we don't. Right now we know our job, we're semi-hermits, is to present the faith. So it's not time for us to do that, and it's not needed to be done anyway in this country. Everybody has that. But you may run across somebody who needs help. You know, and then you give them help. A guy, someone that needs help in town here, or somebody needs, a lady can't open up a door, she's got a big bag she's carrying. Well, let me help you with that, ma'am. I'll help you put that in here. You know, if ever anytime something happens like that, you know, or what you're doing down there by trying to convert this girl that's got this horrible problem down there, you know, you go so far with her, yes. And then there's a point, too, when you got to cut back, because if they're not listening, you've done what you can do. But there is that certain point where, you know, when they're using you or abusing the favors, that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, right.
You know, but and how far to go with these people, that's another issue. When You did the greatest. Right now, as we know, nobody is in need very much of corporal things. The United States has everything they need. It's a curse, really. I wish they were in need, and I wish we were a bunch of Catholics enough to go out and help them, because then we can have a chance more of converting them, because they're when you're in need like that, you have a more open heart to listen to what the person is going to say to you. But that's why this is one of the worst curses you have. Mm-hmm. So here we are talking particularly about who is your neighbor. Allah says everybody out there, every human being has a soul. And a good thing, it doesn't mean you socialize with your neighbor. I always talked about that enough. I don't want to do that here. But the great verse in Ecclesiastes 6:1 is, instead of a friend, become not an enemy to thy neighbor. Don't be socially friendly with non-Catholics. We can never do that. But we must really love them, and you can be friends with them and help them. That's what gets their attention. It says, hey, this fool's a nice guy. If some guy really needed help, and hey, Will, can you bring the jack over and help me fix my flat tire? A guy's in the park and he needs help, and you're nasty and you don't even want to help her. If this is what Catholics are all about, I don't want nothing to do with it. These guys are vicious, man. They're nasty, you know? Or it's almost like, okay, you see a little old lady on the street, she falls down, she has a cane and she's bleeding. And you just walk by her.
The same thing?
That would be the same thing as just kicking her down. You may as well just go up and kick her in the shins and knock her down. Mm-hmm. I mean, what? This guy's vicious. You guys are Catholics? Is that what your God teaches? I don't have a part of your religion. So, you know, that's what it looks like. And that's what it is. Mr. Man, can I help you? Let me help you. You know, that's an instinct that people even have the natural law upon their heart.
Right, right.
So if we don't do these types of things, that's different from when you have to go to war and kill people, because that happens too. You know, but even when God does punish a city, and he's going to punish the United States, and he's going to knock it down, he's going to let the Antichrist hit it with nuke bombs, and he's going to really give these people a horrible time. That's when we come in to help them. Okay, now I want to help you. Yes, you're being punished. We have to tell them that. I want to first tell you why this happened. Because you're evil. You've done wicked. Right. Now I'm going to come and help you, but I want to give you the thing that you really need, right, that's going to save yourself. That's when we come in. Mm-hmm. So the saints would have... You'd have a saint that would go in there, and he would see a town was living like Sodom and Gomorrah, and he would say, God's going to punish you, and may he send his wrath down upon you to punish you for your wicked sins. And then God would tell the saint to leave the town, and God punished the town. Mm-hmm. As the saint prophesies to the people. Destroyed half of them and left the other half alive, half dead, in horrible condition. The saint would then come back into the town after God wreaked his havoc and punished them, and he would then try to help them and bind up the ruins and convert them. That's perfect time.
Yeah.
That's like Jeremiah is coming back after the temple fell, and the Jews are already busted up, and he comes back and goes, what did I tell you? Did I not warn you? See what God did to you? Now I'm here to help you, and I want to make you live long enough so you can repent and understand that what God has done here to you. Now, to show you that I really do love you, but this was a just punishment from God, I'm here helping you. I'm here exhorting you, and I'm driving home the lesson God has just showed you. You deserve what you got. I'm here to tell you that. But I'm here also now to help you and try to bind up your wounds, but most of all, bind up your spiritual wounds and have you make peace with God so he doesn't do this to you again. Mm-hmm. So this charity is always got to be there, you know, and it also, charity means just being polite to people on the natural plane. I always tell you the story about these traditions. These traditions are a bunch of sourpusses. They're a bunch of nasty sourpusses, you know. You know, the grumblers, mumblers, you know. And because somebody's a pagan, they take it out. I'm like, I always say, when you're thinking, thank you, man. Thank you, sir. Yes, when somebody does a favor, thank you. You be polite to them. And they show that you have a respect for them. It's like saying thank you. It's your job anyway. It's polite. The people showing that you have a charity towards them. You know, and that's where they say he's civil, you know. Because most of the world out there is nasty anyway. They've lost all sense of even the natural law of manners and general generosity towards people, which even pagans have on their heart. But you have to try to just because, yes, the supernatural law is above the natural law, we cannot deny the natural law. Because if we do, we're really denying the supernatural law too. Because the supernatural law tells us that there is a natural law that God put in our heart. So we have to obey both of these precepts. We always put the spiritual acts of mercy on top, but we also need to do the corporal works of mercy. And we have to do it in proportion to what we can do, and first, what is needed when it comes our way. Now, if God, in our case, it's not, you have any Catholic Church orders that are meant to go out and take care of poor people. You have orders that are meant to go out and evangelize. You have monks that are in mountains that aren't meant to just talk to no people at all. There is that need of the preaching. And in the church, it's good when you have the church is working the way she always has, when you did have all different types of people. So the idea of the neighbor out there, our Lord's telling us everybody out there who has a soul is our neighbor. And whenever it shows itself, the situation presents itself in which we can help somebody, we do it. But of course, that doesn't mean we got to know when and when not to. You know, there's certain things when a guy's a drunk and he's slobbering all over the place, you know, and he's vicious. In the scriptures, stay away from that guy. Don't even argue. Wait till he's sober. They say, come back when you're sober and then talk to me. But when you're drunk, I can't talk to you. Now, the spiritual work of mercy you did to that homosexual when you gave him my book, what a great act of mercy that was. And did you see what he did? What did he do?
Oh, he got furious. He threw it.
He read it, right?
So
he did read it.
Yeah.
And what did he do?
Then he tried to show it to his other homo buddy, and then he threw it in the garbage, you know. But he was all.
They threw it in the garbage. And they got real angry.
Yeah.
And he said, "You're a cult," and all that.
Yeah, right.
But you know, I say to that, you did your job. Praise God. You know why? Because that's the first reaction.
Oh, right.
Now that's expected. Because the guy's an obstinate homosexual who thinks God created homos.
Yeah.
That book tore him to pieces.
Yeah.
It went right into his heart and disrupted his comfortable homo lifestyle. And now there's hope for him, even though he's angry now. He may not. He may never convert, and he could turn out to be one of our greatest persecutors. But so what? We get a bunch of grace for being persecuted. But he has a hope, though.
Yeah, right.
Because he read the thing. And the reason he got angry at it is because it stung him into the depths of his heart. And I will tell you right now, why there's hope for him, even though he's bad as he could be, rotten and dirty as he is right now. God, now, because he read that, and he knows the true teachings, all these homosexuals and obstinate sinners, I don't care if you're a homo or an adulterer or a drug addict or a stealer or a thief or whatever your sin is, whatever your vice is, it's all the same to God. You go to hell on one vice, one mortal sin sends you to hell. God's going to give that guy in their life, because they have immense moments of depression, well deserved because of their horrible sins. And one day that boy might be dipping down and God's grace is touching his heart, and then he sees how ugly and evil it is, and he's never going to forget that book he read. And that would be his hope, if he reflects back upon that book and says, you know, this guy said I can be cured. You know, this guy said I wasn't made that way and I don't want to be that way no more. You gave him hope. That book gave him hope. It's saying, son, you're not that way. God didn't make you that way. You're that way now because of your own free will. You could be cured. And that can happen at any time in that guy's life. We might even be around to see it. But he can reflect upon that and say, there is a place where I can go to get free from this horrible affliction, because it's nothing but trouble to me. It's nothing but disease and death. It's nothing but horrible stuff. And now I remember that thing I read in which God said he didn't make me this way. I don't have to be this way. See? Now, what are they getting today?
Nothing.
The opposite. God did make you the way, and it's not a sin. Keep doing what you're doing. The opposite. There's no indictment of conscience, but at first you're going to expect the violence. Now, he may not convert. He can end up to be just a nasty guy, and he's going to come down and persecute us, and he'll persecute us as far as God allows him. So what? That's a cross we got to carry. Most of the people don't listen, sadly. But I know one thing, there's no hope unless something like that gets into the hands of a guy. But what I liked about it was he read it.
Yeah,
I know he read it because he got angry at it.
Because
he got angry at it. So that's expected. And you handled it very well in the way you answered and spoke to him on there. So that's it for him now.
Yeah.
And that's it for his buddy and whoever else. Now all the homos in town is going to probably spread around like wildfire about it.
Yeah.
Good, I hope so. Go to the website and read it.
Yeah.
God didn't make you that way. And he also sees that when you love him.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay, yeah, but that's right. We're not.
Kind of
no. He also sees
kind of,
it.
You know,
right. Okay, we're not making him like, you know, hey, you're a mortal sinner.
Yeah, right.
All mortal sinners are going to hell and are rotten. But he also knows that we are giving him hope, that we will not accept it.
Yeah.
You know, and really, deep inside, the kid's not stupid. They all have a law upon them. They know what their sins are doing.
Yeah.
Don't if somebody comes along and says, stealing, you're lying to me. I need somebody to come down and lay God's law down in my face. Look me straight in the eyeballs and tell me, God didn't make you that way. I'm not saying this as a 99% or a 50%, 100% God's holy, honest truth. He did not create you that way, and he can cure you through Jesus Christ and his holy Catholic Church. That's the end of it. You don't need to live like that. You're going to go to hell if you live like that. And look at all the disgusting things that are in your life happening because of it. Son, clean up your life and I'll show you how to do it. And they need it with conviction. Not this, well, maybe yes, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you can do it this way, you can do it that way. People are lost. And they have not only is the apostate Vatican II Church and all these apostates not telling him that, as I always say, they're untelling him that. It would have been better if they were a silent wall and said nothing. Would have been better. But what do? They come out and say, they give him justification in it. And they say, God created you that way. It's not your fault. It's not a sin anyway. You can go on doing it. That is all over the place now. It is rampant. Even when we're listening to that Carol conversation in there again, he's saying, well, we now know because of how the old church was, and Vatican II now shows us how bad, wrong the church was. For instance, remember they used to condemn homos?
Yeah.
Remember that? Remember years ago they condemned homosexuals? Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Don't we know how great homos are? I mean, this is what they're being forced fed through the whole public.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to these Vatican II bastards, rather than keep your mouth shut than you to come out and unteach me a dogma. Anytime somebody will begin an inclination and following the inspirations of God by understanding something's evil, they're just around the corner to tell you, no, that's not, that's from the devil. It's not evil. It's really good. So they're undoing. It's a horrible thing. But we know what the power of the Word of God can do with His grace. And we know that that guy now has a hope because Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. And he's been served. He's been served by the true God. And he could now have a hope.
Yeah.
Until then. And when God determines for us and our websites and our teachings to go out here more and more, He'll do it. Right now we're under the animal's curse. We have to accept God's will. We know God knows all things. He knows, as we always say, when God in His predestined mind created the world, He's got all these reprobates in the elect. He knows them. Before He created, He knows who's going to hell and who's going to heaven. Before He created one human being. But we have to accept the fact, our limitations right now.
Right.
Like the apostles are small numbers. I mean, what is my hope? My hope is this. And I see it happening in the future when people convert. I want to have a whole rank of Catholics in different groups. I want the evangelical groups to go out and preach the dogma. I want the anti-abortion groups. I want them to go out to every anti-abortion rally they can get to with a placard condemning abortion and preaching the dogma at the same time. Not praying with Protestants, verboten. You don't pray with anybody, the Catholics. You don't let the Protestants do that. And you tell people the only solution is the God of the Catholic Church and none other. Abortion is evil. So you are opposing abortion because it is evil. You want to stop it, but you're preaching the dogma at the same time. And I want them to be going into, any other type of protest or any type of charitable works. If we have a lot of people and money, we open up a hospital. I'm just dreaming on this now. You know, but you have charitable places. Of course, you go out there and start doing charitable works, beating the path, helping people, giving them food and preaching the dogma. But we don't have that now. Practical reality is now God still has the world under a curse, and the first thing God's telling us to do is the faith. If we try to start doing all that now, first of all, we can't. But if we even try to do it in a limited basis upon us, He's going to kill us. He's going to kill me. Because why? Our job is to get the faith out there first. Without the faith, the website, the dogmas, the doctrines, the brochures. We are feeding souls first. And that's what our job is. And we do these other things in our limited capacity, but we're only a few. Now, how much could the apostles do in the beginning until they started to get miracles from God and added to their numbers and ranks? The worst thing is to go out, a lot of these people, it's so dangerous. They're going out there, even some of these St. Benedict Center people are evangelizing some people, the dog, but where are they sending them?
Yeah.
Into a heretical church.
Yeah.
They're converting them into a heretical church, and they're heretics themselves. All right, so that's it for now. But just the main thing is that everybody is our neighbor out there, and we got to be first concerned about a soul, and also give him corporal works of mercy when the situation presents itself. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us